Amen. Thank the Lord for that good singing. Enjoyed that. Say amen. What a blessing. All right. Let's get our Bibles open now and open to the book of Luke, chapter number 12 this morning. The book of Luke, chapter number 12. Luke, chapter number 12. I'm going to read you some scripture here about a man who made a terrible, terrible mistake. He passed God by in this life, and the Lord passed him by in the next. That's the way this thing works. You leave God out in this world, He'll leave you out in the next world. And so this morning, I want to look here in Luke chapter 12 and look at verse 16. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. This ought to be read and preached on every TV station in America. It ought to be read in every great big church in this country. But you'll never hear it preached on. When people quote Jesus, I always talk about Him being love and love and love. He is, for sure. But nobody ever preached against sin and preached on hell as strong as the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the original hellfire and damnation preacher. He coined the phrase hellfire. So if a man, all he talks about is the loving part of Jesus and never talks about the judgment of Jesus and the hatred of sin, then he's using the Lord to advance his own agenda or his political views or religious views. This morning we'll not do that. We're going to take the Bible exactly as it is. The same Bible that tells you there's a heaven says there's a hell. If you say there's no hell, then you're going to say there's no heaven also. They both come out of the same book. They're polars. They're opposite. You got to have opposites in everything. Negative and positive on a car battery. Everything has opposites. Dark and light. Heat and cold. They're all opposites are stamped all over creation. And there is a heaven. And there is a hell. Look at Luke 12:16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I want to preach this morning on the subject, why people go to hell. Why people go to hell. You'd think by the way the Bible describes hell that nobody would go. You'd think if God said, you got to have $100,000 and pay it at a certain time, that we'd do everything in our power, work all of our lives, sell everything we've got to get our $100,000 to get our ticket to heaven in the next life. You would think that people would do anything. One of the weirdest things about my job is trying to talk people into wanting to go to heaven. Think about that. That's amazing. That's an unbelievable thing that we'd even have to do that. Why would anybody want to go to hell or not want to go to heaven? Why do people go to hell? According to the Bible, there's millions there this morning. I hear a lot of people taking trips. That's one trip I'd never want to take. I've seen the oceans. I've seen some deserts and mountains and canyons and valleys of this world. But I'd never want to take a trip and see what hell is really like. I noticed that a lot of these movies, especially scary movies, they put on TV and stuff, they always got people in cages and fire coming up around them and everything, because deep in a man's conscience, those writers in Hollywood, they know that there is such a place in the underworld. Directly below us this morning, the caverns of hell burn. The screams of the damned
and the groans and cries of souls that pass God by in this life, and He'll let them go by in the next. That makes my job and our job as Christians the most important work on planet Earth. If a preacher's called to preach, he has to deny himself and take a strong way down step to run for politics. Our job is to keep people from hell. My job this morning is not to impress you with a religious speech. My job this morning is not to make you feel good here at church. My job this morning is not to help you think, oh, the pastor just talked wonderful this morning and I just felt so refreshed when I left. It can be that way sometimes. My job this morning is to warn you, if you're not saved and know you're saved, that you will make that thing sure before you walk out them doors this morning. It's a terrible thought. It's a terrible place. I can give you lists of people in the Bible who died without God and went to hell. 53 times in the Bible, the word hell is mentioned. Jesus preached about hell more than He preached about heaven. Over and over and over and over, the Bible talks about hell. I'm going to tell you what the Lord gave me of why people go to hell. Number one, listen to me this morning. Number one, one of the main reasons people go to hell is because they feel like if they get saved, they have to give up too much. I've met many, many, hundreds of people that said I'd have to quit this or I would have to quit that. I talked to a man one time, him and his girlfriend had been reading the Bible. And they've been reading the Bible, reading the book of Revelation, they're scared to death. And my sister called me and she said, Danny, you need to come over here and talk to them. So I went over and talked to them. We sat in the living room, and by they've been reading Revelation, talking about the sun going dark. You hear that? Hear me ringing there? And the moon turning to blood, and they begin to tell me about all the things they were scared of, and how afraid they were of the future, and how terrible it was going to be. And I looked at them and I said, "Why don't you get saved?" And they said, "Well, we're living together. We're not married. And we know if we got saved that we couldn't live together." And I said, "You mean to tell me that you're taking a chance on going to hell just for a person, a boyfriend or a girlfriend?" I said, "Why don't y'all get married?" And they looked at each other like, "I never thought about that. That might be an option you might consider, before I die, before I not get saved because of it." And they said, "You know what?" And you know what they done? Get me off these monitors, brother, if you could. It's ringing right in my face. You know what they done? They got saved. They got married. They got baptized. They joined the church. They got everything right and made things right with God and lived for the Lord. You know what? They didn't want to give something up. And whatever it is standing between you and getting saved is not worth going to hell for. I tell you right now, whatever it is, whoever it is, if there's somebody keeping you from getting saved, they ain't worth going to hell for. Hell's an awful place. My mom used to go through the house singing that old song, "Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, I want to go to heaven." Hell is an awful, awful place. And it is this morning. It's an awful place. We don't realize how uncertain life is. You think you got to give up too much. I've had people say, "I'm supposed to go to a party Friday night." I've told you this story before. We went to camp one time. It was on Tuesday morning, and I was walking around this long time ago. And I was the director of the camp, and I was walking around, now trying to make sure everybody had a place to sleep, trying to make sure everybody was comfortable in their cabins and stuff. And there was a young lady, about 16 or 17 years old, standing, leaning up against a tree like this right here, just looking down. And all the time when I see somebody like they're upset or crying or something, I try to find out what's wrong with them. And I walked over and I said, "Ma'am, what's your name?" She said, "My name's Karen." I said, "Nice to meet you. I'm Brother Danny." I said, "Are you all right?" She said, "I hate this place." And I said, "What's wrong?" She said, my mama made me come here. It's come from down near Mobile, Alabama. Came up with a group from Florida. And I said, what's wrong? She said, my mama made me come here. I hate these stupid rules. Got to dress like this. And we can't do this. And I was supposed to go with my boyfriend Friday night. And I can't. And I said, whoa. I said, look, girl, you might as well just enjoy it. I mean, you're here for a week. You might as well just try to get, enjoy it, make some friends or something like that. She said, all right. I was like, boy, she was hateful. Well, that we prayed. That night I preached, and guess what? The Lord got a hold of her, and she came down the aisle. And she came down the aisle like that and hit the altar and fell down on her knees and started bawling. And you know what? I prayed with her, and she got it. And I said, Karen, did you get saved? And she said, yes, I got saved. And I said, amen, hallelujah. Karen got saved. Well, Tuesday went by, Wednesday went by, Thursday went by, Friday went by. They left on Saturday going home. Back then, everybody didn't have, the only phone you could use was the pay phone there in the office. People didn't have cell phones. It was back maybe late 80s. And when she got home, they called her in there and set her down. And they said, we got some bad news. Said, your boyfriend, his friend, the other girl that was with them, they were out last night. They had a car wreck. All three of them were killed in that crash last night. But the first thing, she broke down, began to bawl, of course, and the first thing she thought was, if I hadn't have went to camp, if I hadn't have got saved when I did, I would have been in that car and it would have been an eternity without God. You know what? She didn't want to give up that boyfriend. She didn't want to give up that date. But I'll guarantee you she's glad she did now. People think they got to give up too much. One of them old country singers come on, he said, if there ain't no whiskey in heaven, I don't want to go. I thought, well, you retard, there ain't none in hell. I mean, what's wrong with somebody like that? I mean, you'd think, man, have better sense than that, wouldn't you? Well, as I said, I don't want to go to heaven because they don't drink. What, you think you're going to get down there and party? You think you're going to smoke dope in hell? No, sir. You'd be glad. You know what they do in hell? They beg for a drop of water on their tongue. One drop of water. Oh, you listen to me. Listen, if this will get a hold of half of you Christians in here this morning, you might straighten up. If it'll get a hold of you, what God did for you when He saved you from hell, this world wouldn't look so sweet to you anymore. The sin out there in the world and Hollywood and the world wouldn't look so good. God saved you from hellfire. And I'm glad this morning that He did. You say, you one of them screaming old-fashioned hellfire preachers. That's exactly right, and I'm glad to be here. And if a man ain't, they ought to fire him and tell him to give him an honest job selling vacuum cleaners. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. Jesus Christ made the phrase hellfire. If a man don't preach on hellfire, he's taking money under false pretenses. Tell him to man up and preach the Bible instead of wimping out and making everybody feel sweet and kind. People think they got to give up too much. Listen. You say, well, if I got to quit smoking dope, that's right. That's right, you do. It's worth it! Nothing's worth going to hell for. Number two, you know why people won't get saved? People won't get saved because they're afraid they'll be criticized. You know that? Have you noticed that? People are afraid they'll be criticized. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil convinces people that people will be talking about you. Now let me just stop and say something about here. You say, well, if I go to church and all that, then people at work are going to talk. That's right. They are. It ain't going to kill you. I hate to tell you this, but they're already talking about you. If you think people don't talk about you, you are in denial. You're bad, bad deceived. How come you think that you and the girls at work can sit and talk about that other woman, but you don't think as soon as you get up they ain't talking about you? Of course they are. Some of y'all talk about me. And the Lord knows it, and He's going to get you too. He takes up from me. The Lord really does. I don't know why. He likes me for some reason. I mean, I try to take up for Him. I hate to tell you this, but I talk about you. That's the way I'll be honest about it. I've said thanks. Amen. Quit sitting there looking like a possum grinning at me this morning. I mean, the truth is, we all say stuff. You're going to get talked about if you live right. You're going to get talked about if you live wrong. If you go out and sin, they're going to talk about you. If you serve God, they're going to talk about you. If you sit there, they're going to talk about you. If you jump up and shout, they're going to talk about you. They're going to talk about you. People are going to say something. People are going to run that mouth. If you got something, they're going to be jealous and talk about you. If you're poor, you're sorry, you ain't no camp. And if you're rich, you're vain. And if you work hard, all you think about is money. If you don't, you're lazy. And if you try to serve God, they say you're a hypocrite. If you don't, they say criticize, say something. They're going to say something no matter what you do. Listen, they talked about me before I got saved. Up there around Mary, oh, there's that Danny Castle. They talked about me. Some of them ladies, Lord have mercy. I mean, they talk 140 words a minute with gust of up to 180. And I don't tell you something, brother. Listen, they talk about you when you're right. They talk about you when you're wrong. They've talked about me ever since I started. But I'm not going to let that keep me from getting saved about people criticizing me. They talked about Jesus. They said he was mad. You know what that means? Crazy. They said the Lord Jesus Christ was mad. They said he was born of fornication. That it was an illegitimate child. They said he taught lies. They said he was all kinds of... They said everything bad about him, and so you are scared to death. I'm amazed at how terrified some people are. Well, if I do this, the women at work, the men at work, they might say, Lord, have mercy, you thin-skinned brat. Get over it. The Lord, they talk about him. They look what they done to John Wesley. Look what they done to Spurgeon. Look what they did to Dale Moody. Look what they did to all the martyrs. Of course they're going to talk about you. People always talk. Let them talk. You say, I'm afraid I'll be criticized. Somebody said this to me one time, and it helped me. People say a lot of bad things. And listen, remember this. The ones that matter don't care. And the ones that care don't matter. Remember that now, next time they're talking about you. And the ones that matter don't care. People that really love you, they don't care. And the ones that care don't matter. The ones that's always picking out your faults and running their mouth about you and talking about you, they don't even matter. Don't worry about them. They don't matter. And the ones that really matter, they don't care. Amen. Number three. You know why people won't get saved? Why people go to hell? I said number one, people go to hell because they think they got to give up too much. Number two, people go to hell because they think they'll be criticized. Number three, people go to hell because they think they can continue in sin and get by with it. Somehow or another, they think I'll slip through the cracks. Somehow or another, they think God's going to make an exception for me. Somehow or another, you think, well, I've been a pretty good person and I've not really been that bad and I've not done what so-and-so did, so maybe he'll let me. I remember a few times thinking about hell and getting saved before I got saved. I got saved when I was 18. My mom taught me, as you know, right and wrong when I was a little tiny baby. And all our life, mom preached to us, but the pull of the world. Daddy wasn't saved. He took the car all the time. We didn't get to go to church. I grew up knowing there was a God and knowing right from wrong, but I didn't know him like we seen a minute ago. Mom made sure we knew right from wrong. I mean, all the time. She was constantly instructing us and telling us and all. And that's good. Thank God she did. I probably wouldn't be here right now if she hadn't done that. And Mom, don't ever think you're wasting time preaching to your kids, mamas. I know they don't want to hear it. I know they're brats. I know they get aggravated and everything. You keep telling them and keep telling them and keep telling them and keep telling them. It'll come back to them one of these days. And I remember growing up, and I remember thinking about going to hell. When I got my license, I had this little MG, a little convertible. And I used to come down here to Morgan and play ball over here at the rec. I played on some teams over there and over there at the rec where we play our games now. And I remember coming down 70, flying in that car, going back and forth and back and forth around them curves. And then something told me, said, you're going to wreck this thing one of these days. One of these days they're going to get you out here, pick you up, and you're going to be in hell. I remember thinking that before I got saved. And then in my mind, I started thinking, well, everybody else I know is going. If they can stand it, I can. And then I remember Mom saying, them preachers said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And I said, that can't be right. That can't be right. You can't do something bad enough to... That don't make sense. And then that word of God, that King James Bible, that's sharper than a two-edged sword. I can't overemphasize the importance of the Word of God. It cuts deep. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, people. That thing will drive a nail in a man's heart. It'll pierce. It's a sword. It'll cut. And I remember, where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. Hell's forever. And I thought, maybe if I just sinned for 10 years, maybe I'll burn for 10 years, and then I'll just go to sleep and be out of existence. And you know, you start thinking all this stuff in your mind. And then I just put it out of my mind. I wouldn't think of it for 6 months or a year. And I went to church. Some girl got me to go to church with her. And I went one Sunday morning. And I was about 17. And my hair was long. And I went in there that morning. And I'll never forget, I stuck out in there. There was a bunch of older folks in there. Oh my goodness. I was 17. She was probably 15. We sat there in that service that morning. And all those old people just turned around and I'm like, what are you doing here, hippie? And to beat it all, preacher did not have one hair on his head. He got out, and he was a little short guy, and he went, again, I said, he's jealous. He's mad because he ain't got no hair. Mine was down to here. I felt terrible. I felt awful. I was miserable. And I didn't feel nothing. The church I got saved in, we used to take a basketball and go up there. Walk all over. We camped out. We call it camping out. And we'd take a ball, and me and my cousin, another guy, we'd say, we're camping out tonight. Tell my mom, his mom, we're camping out. All we'd do is walk the roads in Nebo all night long. And we'd tap, trying to get between the legs. Boom, 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 boom. Down the road like that, and we'd go up behind that church and see it. And I remember thinking, I'm on the church ground. I ain't cussing up here. And that's how I thought. Like, you know there's something. You know there's somebody there. And I remember I would not cuss on that church property. It's amazing to me how saved people can treat God's stuff now. And I wasn't even saved and wouldn't say a cuss word on God's property. Now I know that building ain't, I know it's just grass and parking lot and everything, but people ain't got no kind of respect for nothing no more. And I remember sitting out behind that church, and I remember thinking, I ain't cussing here, but I sure didn't think about getting saved. I didn't know what it meant. And I remember thinking, somehow maybe I'll slip through. Maybe you'll slip through the cracks. Maybe a big crowd just going in and you'll just sort of just go in with them. Maybe somehow or another God will overlook. God, after all, He's merciful and He knows I'm really good down deep inside, and I'm good to my mom, and you try to say, people think they can live in sin and get by, but you ain't going to get by. Hey, young man, you're not going to get by. You're not going to slip through the cracks. You will someday stand in front of God. Your mama ain't going to help you. Your daddy won't be able to help you. Brother Danny can't help you. It'll be you and God. You stand there, brother, if you ain't saved, the angels will cast you into a fire and you'll scream forever and ever and ever. And if that makes me a crazy fanatic, think whatever you want to. That'll stand when the world's on fire. Stand, brother. I know it's not popular in this generation, but it's the truth anyway. You ain't going to slip through. You know what Ted Turner said? The owner of CNN, Ted Turner, they had a big special on him on TV and everything. He said, I lost my faith years ago. I quit believing that stuff. He said, I've had a few drinks and a few girlfriends. If that'll put me in hell, so be it. I'm going to tell you something. He's going to live to regret them words one of these days. Them drinks and a few girlfriends ain't going to put him in hell. His rejecting of Jesus Christ, his Savior, will, though. Nobody, the Pope, the preacher, no politician, gets by. Elvis didn't get by. John Belushi didn't get by. Marilyn Monroe didn't get by. Kurt Cobain didn't get by. Michael Jackson didn't get by. You ain't going to get by. You ain't going to get by. You're not going to get by. Last thing I'll say this morning. Number one, people think they got to give up too much. Number two, people think they're going to be criticized. Number three, people think they can sin and get by. But the fourth and probably the most dangerous reason people go to hell is because they think they got plenty of time. I don't have to do it today. Oh, I agree with everything you're saying, preacher. I just ain't going to do it today. Somebody in here today needs to get saved today, this morning. You say, boy, it's making me nervous. You up there talking like that. I remember feeling like that. I remember feeling that nervous feeling. I remember thinking, people going to the altar, and that night I got saved. I remember thinking, oh, God, get me out of here. Why did I come here to start with? And I think, but the Lord's are pulling on you, and the devil's pulling you the other way, and God's pulling you this way, and you're going to decide which way you go, my friend. You're going to decide. You're going to decide. Somebody said, the clock of life is wound but once. And no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss no one can restore. That means this. If you lose your soul, you'd have been better off never to have been born. If you live this life, die in a car wreck on the way home and not saved, it'd have been better if your mom had never heard the news you was coming. You'd have been better off never to came into this world to start with. It would have been better to have never been born. That's what Jesus said. People think they've got plenty of time. The truth is, you don't know you've got any time left. You don't know how much time you've got. May not have none. May not have none. I heard about this woman, and her kid was driving up the road one night, and it's on this old curvy old country road, and it's foggy like it has been around here lately, and she looked and she saw something in the road, and it moved, and she thought it was a deer, and she pulled up something and stopped, and it was a young man, and this boy was laying there in the road. He's so drunk he couldn't walk. And he's laying there, he'd been gotten a fight or something, he's just laying there right in the middle of the road. And she pulled off the side of the road and she walked up to him. She said, son, are you all right? And they said that boy looked up at that woman and he started on, don't let my daddy find me out like this. Don't let my daddy find me out like this. And she said, son, I'll try to help you. And he's so bruised up, man, he couldn't walk. She started trying to pull him, and she grabbed hold and started pulling him, tried to drag him off the road like that. About that time, a car come around that curve, and she looked, and there was her little girl, and there was that man, and she couldn't, there was no way she could drag him. She grabbed her little girl and went off, moved on the side of the road like that, and that car hit him, and it got him underneath that car, drug him up 30 feet up the road, and she went up there, and he was tore all to pieces. It killed him just like that. The last words he said before he left this life was, don't let my daddy find me like this. His daddy was a preacher. His daddy was a preacher. The preacher's kid was out in sin. God called him out of this world. You know why people won't get right? They think they got plenty of time. I think they got plenty of time. I am not trying to sound dramatic. This is a fact. There's not a person in here this morning that knows you've got an hour, 1 hour left on this earth. Not one. There's not one person here this morning who knows you'll be alive at 1 o'clock. You know what you better do? You better get saved. Do what you would do if you knew You had 1 hour. You know why people won't get saved? Why people go to hell? They think they got plenty of time. The Bible said, time is short. The Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him and our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You better listen to stuff like that. You better listen to it. I believe there's people in here this morning that need to get saved. I believe there's people in here this morning that need to get right. And I believe there's people in here this morning that need to come and pray for your loved ones and get back on track here in this new year. You know why people won't get saved? They think they got plenty of time. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed and every eyes closed this morning.